Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Premier Foods Quarter One Interim Management Statement. My name is Faye, and I'll be your coordinator for today's conference. For the duration of the call, you'll be on listen only. However, at the end, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you'll be connected to an operator. I will now hand you over to your host, Gavin Darby, to begin. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Good morning to you all. Thanks for finding time to join us slightly later than usual. I know that you had a Unilever call beforehand. I'm joined here by Alistair Murray, our CFO, and I thought I would just give you a brief introduction to our first quarter results. You'll have seen we issued our IMS earlier this morning, and I'll just preface it with a few, or I'll call with a few comments, and then we'll move to Q&A, the questions that you have in mind. I suppose the first point is by far the most material piece of news, and important not to forget in the first quarter, is regarding our capital restructuring. I think many have described it as a transformational capital restructuring. And we discussed that back in early March, and during the back end of the quarter, we've continued to tidy up and close that. But also, let's not forget our Hovis bread JV with the Gores Group, and that is going to complete this coming weekend. So those would be the two biggest and most material events for the quarter. Moving to our sales performance, I mean, as we highlighted during the last weeks, we were expecting slightly slower and lesser power brand growth in the first quarter, and that, as you can see in the IMS, came in at -3.5%, and we've talked about that much in the last 5-6 weeks. I mean, I think I would touch on three reasons, and we can come back to this in Q&A. I mean, first of all, you know, cold is disproportionately good for some of our categories, not all of them, but some of our categories. March was disproportionately challenging in that regard. I understand the stats show that March was close to 4% warmer than the prior year, and that does have an impact on some of our more winter seasonal categories. A later Easter, I noticed that the Unilever focused on that very significantly. We have one category in particular, cake, particularly within it, Cadbury cakes, which are really very, very focused on Easter, so that moves sort of into the second quarter. And the final point, much discussed really in the last month, clearly the general, as we described, subdued grocery retail environment. And yeah, I would quite happily talk about that in rather more detail. I suspect that would be a question from you all, which you'll come back to, and I'll come back to that in Q&A. So those really would be the three reasons. I mean, in the meantime, clearly or in parallel, we are pressing on with our cost initiatives, both cost and complexity. We will have halved the number of our suppliers by the end of the year. We're on track for reducing our SKUs by 40%. And also, I would say, see some incremental cost investment opportunities as we, Alistair and I, in the last month have begun to get back and have time to focus on running the business operationally. We've seen, we've been working our way around some of our manufacturing sites, and, you know, in a cash-constrained, capital-constrained environment that Premier's worked in, you know, we have, or management have passed on some interesting cost opportunities, cost out opportunities that modest amounts of CapEx would address. So we are pressing on hard with our program to drive out cost and complexity. A couple of other anecdotes, if you want to, which might be helpful in terms of the impact of driving our purchasing efficiencies and supply front. I mean, we talked about our telecommunications rationalization from 5 suppliers to 1. A couple of others for you. We've rationalized our vegetable fats and oil suppliers from 7 to 2, and that's very important. And another one which is interesting in terms of our facilities management activities, we had 217 different suppliers across the organization providing services in the areas such as, I would say, office services, facilities management, pest control, office supplies, etc. And we've rationalized the 217. By the end of this year, we'll be down to just two. So just a couple of other anecdotal examples of how, so we get time to really focus on running the business, we can take a lot of complexity and therefore cost out of the business. We are definitely focusing on an H2 that has more innovation and new products and disproportionately more marketing. But I have to say, you know, in this first half, in the first quarter, we've already seen us begin to get into two different particular marketing initiatives. You've seen us back on air with Bachelors. Remember, Bachelors was on, only came back after 5 years of advertising. In the last half of last year, we've been driving the Bachelors Deli Box with a new campaign called Awesome Mum, which we're very excited about. And one of our support brands, I mean, support brands have been a weak spot for Premier in the last 2 or 3 years. So we're in the process of relaunching Home Pride, and that brand is being refreshed in terms of some of the varieties and recipes that we're offering. We will bring in the second half of the year some marketing and advertising to Home Pride for the first time. So, yes, our H2 is much stronger in terms of new products and marketing weight, but we are already headed down that road with those two examples of Home Pride and Bachelors. We made clear in our IMS that we continue to focus on cash generation and our medium-term leverage targets that we discussed very much spot about. Refi are unchanged. Most importantly, I think in the IMS, we are confirming that our expectations for the full year are unchanged. Yes, the environment will remain challenging. Why would we feel confident about that? Well, as I've said, our H2 initiatives are disproportionately strong. We've got a lot of marketing firepower resources yet to commit and hit the consumer. We feel very confident about where our relationships are with our big customers, second point. And thirdly, you know, we've got opportunity to continue to drive cost out of the business. Three reasons why we feel confident and therefore very happy to say that our expectations for the year are unchanged. So with those introductory comments, let's hand over the agenda to yourself and your questions. If you could just identify, as usual, who you are and where you're from, and Alistair and I will do our best to answer the questions and things that are on your mind. So, Faye, back to you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star one again. You will be advised when to ask your question. And we have a question from the line of Alex Sloan from Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I've got three questions, please. Just firstly, you're obviously expecting a strong recovery in the second quarter and second half in sales growth to hit your full-year power brand sales targets. Is it fair to assume that the acceleration will be entirely volume-driven, given the challenging retail environment that you've referenced could result in pricing trends deteriorating? That's the first question. Second question, there's a comment in the statement about CapEx, the guidance unchanged for the year, but you are referencing some projects that you're looking at that could potentially deliver improved efficiencies. Just would be interested to know how you kind of think about balancing these opportunities with the priority to pay down debt and get to your 2.5 times net debt to EBITDA target. And then finally, obviously you flagged, I think at Q4, that you were pleased with the recovery in support brand sales growth, helped in part by your discounter strategy. So obviously, the sales have declined quite significantly for the support brands in Q1. I was wondering if you exclude Cadbury Cake, which obviously has been impacted by the Easter timing, what the underlying sales growth would have been for the support brands. Thanks.
Alex, thank you. Well, I'll do the first and the third, and Alistair will pick up the CapEx point. No, I don't. I mean, yes, I do see H2 being very important in terms of growth, but no, I don't see it entirely volume-driven. I mean, we have successfully implemented the price increases in the first part of the middle of the first quarter of this year. So price increases, recovering import costs have been implemented and reflected by retailers on the shelf. So that's encouraging. Now, secondly, you know, we raise revenue not just by how we price individual SKUs, but also by the focus that we have, revenue growth management, how we, a good example would be Ambrosia, as we're launching increasingly kind of snack pots and pot products, so the kind of revenue per litre or gram as we move into more convenience, SKUs from kind of volume SKUs, and the same would be true in cake. So you raise and generate incremental revenue from your pack price architecture and your commercial strategy. So no, I don't see it 100% by any means 100% volume driven for those two good reasons. Moving to CapEx.
Yeah, so I think the context to this, actually a number of people as we went round as part of the refinancing said, you know, have you actually got enough in for CapEx? And we were saying at the time that we thought there were some good projects that had pretty short paybacks, and I'm talking sort of, you know, 2 to 3 year paybacks that had not made the cut in terms of sort of previous budgeting processes. And actually, you look at some of these sort of, you know, cost-saving initiatives, and you think, well, that's really stuff that we should be doing. So Gavin and I are in the process of revisiting all of this, and indeed there are such projects out there, and we think we should be getting on to do them. At the moment, our view is that we can accommodate this. You know, these are, you know, we're talking a few million here. We're not talking sort of another, you know, tens of millions. Our view is that we can accommodate that within the existing CapEx budget, and there's a few other projects which are probably going to drop off the other end into next year. If that view changed, we would obviously update the market in due course. But this is, I think, just confirming a direction that we started to talk about. And as we've now got time to focus on day-to-day stuff, you know, we do think there is an opportunity to upweight that program and get some very quick paybacks.
And Alex, on the support brands, well, you're right to focus, and you heard me do the same on the fact that support brands have been a weak spot over the last 2 or 3 years for Premier Foods, and something that we're addressing. I'm confident that we, you know, we're on. It's a journey, but we are on the journey to address those. Yes, there's an important Easter effect, and not prepared to break that out, but Cadbury cake is a particularly good example. Even one of our other support brands, Pacto Stuffing, is also an example of something that the brand does disproportionately well at Easter. And I suppose the other point I would make is, you know, we are investing in Home Fried, and we're in the middle of that relaunch at the moment. It's the first time we've put any activity and effort behind Home Fried, and we will continue to roll out our secondary brands in the discounters, and we're getting some good traction there. So hopefully those are 3-4 good examples of how we are continuing to dial up our focus on our support brands.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Martin today from Jefferies. Please go ahead, Martin.
Morning, gentlemen. One question from me. You mentioned in the statement that gross margin is improving. I just value some colour on that. I guess the question is that pure mix in terms of the shift towards power brands and away from own label and support brands, or are there other underlying things going on in your gross margin equation?
I mean, there is, you know, there's inevitably a whole number of moves in here. I think the overall movement is relatively modest, which is probably what you would expect. But I think we wanted to put that in to give you confidence that notwithstanding all the noise out there about what's going on in the grocery market, we were holding, in fact, slightly increasing our margins, and you know, we thought that was an important message to put in there.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. And our next question is from the line of Darren Shirley from Shore Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, morning, gents. A couple of questions, please. First of all, just on market conditions, I mean, have you seen market conditions or the nature of maybe customer discussions change or materially change since Morrison's announcement in, I think it was the 12th of March? And also on that, I mean, you talked about how weak the market was in the first quarter. Do you need that to recover in the remainder of the year for you to hit your full year numbers, or do you think you've got enough under your own steam through innovation and markets and spend, et cetera, to deliver that? And finally, just on Home Pride and the relaunch, my understanding was that was going to be one of the brands that may be featured in the discounters or other channels going forward, but is this launch going to be going into the mainstream retailers as well, the big four?
Darren, I'll have a crack at all three of those. I think I was waiting for somebody to ask me about retailers and the impact, so thank you for that. I think a lot of people are interested, you know, subsequent to the Morrison's announcements and the very publicly discussed, you know, challenges to not just Morrison's, but I think all four of the major retailers lost share in the last data. So here are my 5 points when I think about that from Premier Foods. I mean, the first point directly to your question is, yes, we have intense commercial conversations and the intensity is high with our big retailers, the UK retail. The UK retail market is really quite concentrated. But I don't feel that there are any difference in intensity to normal. So I would say intense, but business as usual would be the big headline, my first point. I think the second point is we're finding huge traction for a category conversation. And you saw during last year and back in our refinancing relaunch of the company. So the category proposition has huge traction with big customers at the moment because they are seriously short of growth, and somebody who's sitting down, who's organizing their entire arsenal of brands, people, marketing money to grow the category for both the retailer partner and themselves, you know, that is a perfect proposition and perfectly timed. So as a consequence of that, you know, we've never been in better shape with our major customers. I mean, we are on a very good trend with our major customers. So that would be the second point about category. The third point really is brands is very much our focus. We're close to 90% of our revenue in brands, and that's where we intend to be. And most of the ammunition that we see being fired, or you all see being fired between the retailers, is actually on own label. And, you know, that's not surprising. If a big grocery retailer is disproportionately worried about shoppers moving to Aldi and Lidl, Aldi and Lidl are a retailer own label brand operation, then it's not surprising. You saw Tesco's reaction yesterday. I think 30 items, breakfast related items. There wasn't a single brand in there. It was all own label, butter, breakfast related items, baked beans, etc. So own label is where the big focus is from the big retailers. But, you know, our categories are very low in terms of own label penetration, and we see own label shares falling in most of our categories, so we don't see that as an issue. So third point is we're very much focused on brands, and I think that's the place to be. The fourth point is that most people talk about this. A lot of commentary is focused on the cost of pricing or potential pricing. I think the bigger focus should be on volume. You know, what is the underlying dynamic here is that quite a lot of retail, a lot of consumers are moving into different shopping formats. Mm-hmm. It's where they're shopping. It's not, you know, that is the biggest issue. And the fact that they've moved their shopping behaviors, as you know, Darren, disproportionately well, being a big expert on retailers. And so it's not so much from a branded perspective, I think a pricing exposure. It's more some softness in retail in the volume of the major six retailers. That's where I think the focus needs to be, which of course is not good, but you know, is a lot less expensive than, you know, pricing across every case or every SKU you sell. And the fifth one I would make is, yes, those consumers have changed their behavior, but three of the four big trends we're seeing are positive to a branded manufacturer. The move to the multiple smaller stores is positive, brands over index. The move online is positive because brands over index. And that business all stays within the big retailers. The third one is the move to high street discounters, the Poundland, B&Ms of the world. Frankly, a branded manufacturer pitching his secondary brands at that sector, that is an opportunity. And the only one which is negative is the move to Aldi and Lidl. I know that's important, but three of the four trends, the big trends which you're all reporting on and are justifiably concerned about, are positive for a branded manufacturer. The fourth one to Aldi and Lidl, not so positive, but big retailers are big customers to which our wagon is very firmly hitched, fighting back against that. That's not bad either, is it, to a branded manufacturer? So those, and I know a lot of you are very interested in this. I wanted to expand, Darren, on your question a little bit with those 5 points. Your other two questions, market, you know, do we need the kind of seasonality to change to help the tide to kind of rise? I don't think in particular. I mean, actually, the second half of the year, we're cycling, you might say, weak comparables. You know, it was particularly hot summer in quarter three last year, even quarter four was disproportionately that way. So, yes, we got a lot of new products and marketing firepower to shoot, but frankly, you know, the comparables for both quarter three and quarter four are helpful to us. Home Pride. Now, Home Pride is very much focused on the major marts. And so Home Pride is an important brand. It's the third of our brands in the cooking sauce category, but it is disproportionately in the major marts. So that's where the disproportionate focus of its relaunch will be.
And I mean, in terms of the nature of the discussions, because what Morrisons were talking about was trying to actively cut back in terms of promotional activity, particularly on the brands. I mean, is that a discussion you are having, or has that got implications for your plans and markets and spend in the second half?
No, I mean, I think I've heard Morrisons, I've heard Casper say before that he thinks there's too much promotional intensity. And so we're not seeing any negative impact on our plans with Morrisons. We're very well aligned with Morrisons. They also are focused on some other things which are very positive, which he focused on, which is SKU reduction. You know, we think as a brand leader with most of our business in big brand, if retailers would be as aggressive in terms of SKU rationalization as we're being, we would be the net winners. And we are having those kind of conversations. And the place you wouldn't want to be in a major retailer in an SKU reduction mode would be, you know, an owner of lots of kind of number three or number four brands. So bottom line, Darren, is, you know, we feel in very good shape with Morrisons.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you. And we have a question from the line of Debbie King. Please go ahead, Debbie.
Hi there. Most of my questions have been asked, but I wonder if I could just touch on the support brands. You commented you're not prepared to break the Easter effect out. Can you comment on current trading, whether April trading today is in line with your expectations?
Not at this stage. I mean, a very fair question, Debbie, but we're only right at the beginning of our second quarter. So early days. I think we need the whole of the second quarter to play out because some of our support brands are so disproportionately Easter affected. And no, we're not prepared to break them out, I'm afraid. But by the time we get to our half year, we'll have a much more comparable period against which to be able to compare our support brands. And as I said, activities behind brands like Home Pride, the relaunch of Home Pride, will have been more fully implemented because we're only just starting on the Home Pride activity.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please be reminded, if you would like to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. And we have a question from the line of Graham Jones from Panmure Gordon. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. I just had a couple of questions. Firstly, I don't know if you can compare the sort of the 3.5% power brand decline to what your categories did in the first quarter, and whether that represented market share gains or losses. That's the first question. And secondly, was just wondering if you could comment a bit more on what's happening at Sharwood's at the moment. I think the statement says that sales were down. Again, does that represent a category decline, or is that a market share decline? And what are your plans for Sharwood's for the rest of the year?
I mean, market research, the first question, Graham, market data always lags sales data. So, you know, we don't have all the market data for the first quarter. So I wouldn't be able to answer your question comprehensively. I don't see, you know, there was always ups and downs by brand and by category, I assure you, in every quarter. We have seven power brands. You don't have the gas, your foot on the gas at the same weight and the same level on every brand in every month or even in every quarter. So there are some puts and takes. So I don't see any material market share issues in the first quarter, and we'll review that when we get all the data, and I'll be able to speak rather more comprehensively on that when we've got all the market research data in for quarter one. Sharwood's, I mean, that's a good example of really a brand that we haven't massively focused on in the first quarter. So we will, you know, we have plans for Sharwood's. Sharwood's is an important brand for us, one of our seven power brands, and we'll roll out the rest of our Sharwood's plans, you know, in the next quarters.
Okay, thanks. I wonder if I could just ask a follow-up question. In the statement on when you talked about costs, there's a line in there where you talk about further innovative opportunities are currently being reviewed to maximise value and efficiencies from the grocery infrastructure. I was wondering if I could get you to expand on that as to what you mean by that.
You're demonstrating, Graham, you're reading every line very carefully. I will pass that one to
Alan. Well, I mean, there's nothing specific that we really want to say to expand on that. I think the message that we were trying to convey is that we are taking this area very seriously, that we are very open-minded about all sorts of ways in which we might be able to get further value and efficiency out of the infrastructure, and that you know we've got to you know really push hard away at this, because there's no doubt that keeping a tight control of our cost base is going to be critical in running the business successfully. And you know this was really just trying to demonstrate a breadth of thought process in terms of how we might approach that.
I mean, during the quarter we're pretty well down to two distribution centres from, you know, three. And I suppose my only add to Alistair is you shouldn't be worrying about big factory closures and significant unbudgeted restructuring costs, if that was behind anybody's question. But as Alistair says, we're drilling deeply into both our distribution and all our fixed costs to see whether there are any smart ways to further squeeze out costs. And we demonstrated it with our, you know, unannounced, pretty well or untrailed rationalization of distribution centers, and we'll find other ways to do the same.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And we have a question from the line of Harry Marsh from EFT Harris All Day. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Apologies if this has been covered before. I was a bit late joining the conference call. I was just wondering if you could flesh out some figures on the advertising looking to the future and sort of in comparison to what has been spent over the last 12 months, what you're aiming to spend over the next 12 months in getting the brand awareness improved. Thanks a lot.
I think, well, the numbers we talked about are, our marketing budget is more than £30 million. And our midterm goals are to increase that market budget by low teens, low to mid teens. So we're committed to that. And at this point, I don't see any reason why we wouldn't be increasing our 2014 advertising spend, you know, by the low to mid-teens against 2013. That's the plan. And, you know, particular focus for us, a disproportionate focus for us will be Mr. Kipling. You probably saw in quarter one an awful lot of news about will we, won't we, on Mr. Kipling relaunch, and how will we relaunch, and whether we will use the exceedingly good cakes line and all the rest of that. So we're excited about that. We fanned the flames, a lot of social media and general excitement. And so in quarter three, we have a big relaunch for Kipling with a significant amount of media. Bachelor's on air at the moment with Awesome Mum, as I trail. We're really rather excited about that. Ad Oxo, quarter two, quarter four. Home Pride supported for the first time, so said. So hopefully that gives you some both the guidance in terms of the numbers, but also some of the activities we're going with. We're in the branding business. Clearly, we need to and are supporting our brands and all our new products.
Okay, thanks.
And I think maybe just to add is the what you would have probably taken from that is that more of our consumer marketing spend is in H2 than H1. Now that makes sense. It also underpins why we think we can move from a negative grocery power brands in the first quarter to hit the guidance of 2-3% for the full year. That's one of the reasons why we would expect a stronger H2. And there are other reasons that we went through as well.
Thank you. We have a question from the line of Darren Shirley from Shore Capital. Please go ahead, Darren.
Yeah, hello again, James. Just a follow-up question on the... you made some comments about actively being engaged in category management conversations. In what sort of categories do you have the scale to engage in those conversations? How many of your power brands would that encompass?
Well, I can think of one major retailer where we are the category... Major retailer, one of the big four, where we are category captain in all the five categories that we drive our business in. And the same, I can add probably two of the top five retailers where that's true. So, you know, I think we very much have the scale to be category captain in each of the five big categories where our seven power brands are based. And we would have come from a situation 24 months ago where we were not category captain on any category with any retailer.
Okay, cheers. Thank you.
Thank you. And a final reminder, if you'd like to ask a question on today's call, please press star one on your telephone keypad now. Okay, we have no further questions coming through.
Very good. Well, thank you all for your time and attention and ongoing support. Thanks very much and have a good day.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now replace your handset.
Hold the line for the conference host to join the conference, or a customer services representative.